It's called The Buddha Made Me Do It. It's the incredible story by Marla Martinson of her life in the paranormal world and some of the things that have happened. We're going to chat with her a little bit about candle magic and take your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. You're going to hear three more emerging artists tonight before they are done, and their websites are at coasttocoastam.com. Well, what great talent all around Canada and the United States, truly. Well, with Marla Martinson, we're talking about her work, The Buddha Made Me Do It. Marla, we used to have a great guest. She has passed on, Evelyn Paglini. She was called The Good Witch, and she loved candle magic. So you're starting to do that, too. That fascinates me.
Well, it fascinates me, too. And I know Linda Salvin, who comes on, has her Wicks of Wisdom. She does the candle magic.
Yep.
My friend Julie, actually, who's in the book with me, that went on this odyssey with me, she started getting into the candle magic first, and she even makes candles at home. And she's got this whole chest of drawers with little drawers and her little herbs and all that. So there's a story in my book. So the storyline about Julie is that she is obsessed with her neighbor. She has a crush on her neighbor, right? And
okay.
This guy is not giving her the attention that she wants, but she can't shake it. She is crazy about him, and she was willing to do
anything. True story.
Yeah, true story. So she's going to psychics. She's on the board trying to ask spirits what to do. Is he ever going to fall in love with her? This and that. And then we go to a place called the Green Man Store in North Hollywood, and they have this really cool, it's like Harry Potter or something. You know, there's this guy, there's this warlock behind this counter, and he's doing his candle magic, and Julie's like, please, Hovick, make me a candle to make this all stop. Just make me stop thinking about this guy. And he's carving in intentions, and he's got sparkles, and he's putting all this energy and magic into this candle. And then he tells her to take it home, and then you burn it all the way down, and then you'll meditate with it. You'll kind of put your intentions and prayers, and then once it's I think it was like for 4 hours or 6 hours, right? Afterwards, you've got to take it to a crossroads and bury it.
Wow.
So here I'm like watching Seinfeld rerun or something in bed, and Julie calls me up, and she's like, it's like 10 at night. Marla,
let's go.
I've got to go bury this candle, but where am I going to go? In my neighbor's yard or what? You know, am I going to get arrested? You know, here's this like middle-aged woman out in Van Nuys, like digging up
a
crossroads,
right?
Burying a candle. But it was quite comical. So, I love the candle magic because you sit there and you want to give your good affirmations, your intentions, maybe some prayers, and you have this beautiful candle as a focal point, and then someone like this, the guy at the Green Man Store, right? There's another gal called Vicky who's at a little shop called Pan Pipes in Hollywood where I go for my candles, and she carves in the intention and she puts the little oils and the sparkles,
mm-hmm.
and it just feels so magical.
Well, did this work for Julie?
Didn't work for Julie, but didn't work out. They never did get together, but it has worked for me for some really, I've noticed.
And the colors determine a lot of things, too, of the candle.
Yeah, you can have green for money and blue for...
Yeah, so there's different
Different meanings, and maybe the colors of the chakras and things like that.
Well, you know, growing up as a Catholic kid, when you went to church, they would light candles and pray to them for individuals who had died or for things you wanted to pray for.
Exactly.
And so it's interesting how the ritual of candles is from religion to magic to everything.
Yeah, the fire is very transmuting. Yeah. It's. I love it. I always have candles burning. It's really magical.
We always had to put money, though, in this little slot.
Yeah, because those candles
candle.
Cost money.
Yeah, that's true. Too bad we couldn't bring our own. corkage fee in
like
a Catholic church.
Like a corkage fee for
wine,
yes.
All right, let's take some calls as we continue talking about your work. The Buddha Made Me Do It. Did you have fun writing that book?
It would, George. This is my fifth book, and this one was so much fun. And I even told my mom, she thought, gosh, you know, I wasn't very, my ego a little inflated, but I said, I've read, I had so much fun reading the book. I read it five times because I'm rehashing all the things, remembering all the fun that we had.
Has learning about the paranormal made you a better matchmaker?
Well, you know, it's having a really fun hobby. I think it does. And also, the spiritual side, you kind of try to look at these people that you get real frustrated with and think, you know, gosh, they're just doing the best they can. You know, you delve into past lives and spirits and lessons that we're here to learn, right? And so maybe the reason they want a busty blonde 20 years younger is they're working something out, so I could like look at it from a different point of view.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Kathy in Canada to get things started. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi, George. Hi, Marla.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have a question for you, Marla. When I first met my husband, we got drunk one night, and we started playing with the Ouija board.
Uh-oh.
When you were talking about this earlier, something triggered in me. We've been married 15 years, just over 15 years, and it's just been the most horrible, it's just been a horrible marriage. We fight all the time. We're bound and determined to stay together and to try and work things out. But for 15 years, we have been fighting and arguing, and there's just been so much turmoil in our life. It's just been horrible. And when you said that you don't play with the Ouija board because some weird thing was happening in the house while we were playing with this Ouija board, and it kind of freaked us out, so we shut everything down and put the Ouija board away. But my husband still has it out in the shed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it.
How do I get rid of it?
I
doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. We try to go to church, but that doesn't always happen. But I can feel evil lurking.
All right, Marla, you go first, and then I'm going.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that your marriage is so stressful. That's really bad for your health. So hopefully you can work this out, you know, whether you separate or you work it out. But in my book, I tell about somebody who helped me when Adolfo and I were having a lot of stress, and he really helped with it. And Adolfo's here, so he hasn't read the book. I'm not going to go into it, but if you read it, you'll see what I did. But I subscribe to the fact that the Ouija board or the board is just a piece of cardboard. It's just a piece of wood. It's not a portal to hell. It's not anything evil. It's the energy that the people bring to it and what you're doing. It's the person. It's you. That's what I believe. And you guys were drunk using it. You didn't do it properly. I don't know what happened. You can cleanse the board. You can sage it. You can do some rituals to clear it or give it away.
That's nice to a friend like I did.
Yeah.
Look what happened to him. Poor Daryl.
Take it to the
Give it to a guy named Daryl, right? Now, now my turn, Kathy.
Send it to the Talking Board Society. There's the Talking Board Society online. Check that out. You can send it there.
This is what I recommend.
Okay.
Kathy, find a safe place to burn it. Get some lighter fluid. Put it on there. Let it soak in.
I have a fire pit in my backyard.
Okay, good. Don't light it right away because it'll just burn off. Let the lighter fluid soak in, all right, for maybe 20 minutes, and then burn it and get rid of that thing. That's my advice.
Get rid of it. It's been haunting me for 15 years.
And let's see if things change for you.
15 years.
Pardon me?
Let's see if things change for you.
Yeah, let us know.
Burn it.
I will.
Okay.
My husband works at it.
All right.
Email me and let me know what happens.
Yeah, let us all know what happens. Now, see, that's my advice. You differ from that.
Yes.
Karen would differ.
Karen would differ. Linda would differ.
Give me the
Linda
board. I'll take it.
Yes.
I'll nurse it
Karen
back to
Karen has
health.
Like 17 boards. She's got them.
She's got all kinds of old ones. Rosemary Ellen Guiley has a very old Ouija board.
Yeah.
It's like
Doesn't
one
she,
of those classics.
I would love one of those. One of those old William Folds
like
from the turn of the
like
century.
From the 1800s.
They're fantastic. These are great pieces of history.
Let's go to Eddie in Rochester, New York. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the program. Eddie, are you there? Nope, he's not there yet. But let's go to Don in Augusta, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Don, hey, go ahead.
George, thanks for taking my call. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, but your show has gotten better and better, and your replacements are excellent, too. Connie Willis and that Dave Schrader guy last night.
Good people.
Excellent.
Good people.
But tonight, I think you're right. You need to caution Marlene about the boards because they can open up a door to evil spirits who can mimic good spirits. You'll think you're talking to Uncle Fred or Aunt Sarah when really it's some demon just playing you. So,
have you had experience with that?
Yeah, I know a lot of people like you think it's all fun and games and all this, but then they have a lot of negative things happen.
It hasn't happened yet.
So,
How do you know that?
Talk about it.
What do you mean, how do
already,
I know?
Already, Adolfo, your husband is stressed to the max.
Yeah, he's concerned about
he's
you.
He's concerned for nothing.
Joke or something.
Yeah. No, good advice.
Good advice. Thank you.
Bye.
There he is. Oh, I wouldn't dabble with it.
George, I love you for trying to save me.
I am trying to save you. Hey, let's go to Eddie now. He's ready in Rochester, New York. Hi, Eddie.
Oh, hi. Hi, George.
Marla's here.
The Ouija board has been around for years. I mean, I recall from the 60s. And of course, I agree with your opinion on it. And in fact, you're just opening up a medium to negativity. And let's remember, people talk about angels, but the demons were fallen angels. Okay? They were fallen angels. So this kind of stuff can lead to, and I've had people tell me negative things that they'd experienced after using the Ouija board, And as I recall, we had a Ouija board in the city. We didn't know. We thought it was just a game. We didn't know, until we got more insight, And our church pastor told us, and he had a little bit more insight. He says, no, all you're doing is opening up, and this is what people will encounter.
Why is there just evil coming through? Why wouldn't anything good come through? Why is everybody always thinking that's all they think about is evil and the portal to evil? What is all this evil? Why are humans just focusing on that? Why would that just be?
Well, because first of all, goodness comes from God, okay? And Lucifer, who's the devil, okay, he was the most beautiful angel in the kingdom, okay? And he wanted to be just as God, okay? And that's why he was dethroned with all the angels that followed him that are known as demons, So, you have to take the word of people that have had negative experiences.
And what about taking the word of people who have had great experiences?
There aren't that many.
Well, I know a lot of them.
I haven't heard
there's
one.
There's a lot. But you heard one tonight.
There's a couple out there, Eddie, but not a lot.
One. Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, Karen loves them. Karen Dahlman.
Karen.
But I don't get a lot of... All right.
If there's any
legitimate good Ouija board positive
stories,
call
in, please. Call in with the good ones. I've had enough of the.
And don't fake it. Make it a real thing because we know we can track you.
We'll track you down.
Santa Barbara, California. Pasquale is with us west of the Rockies. Hi there. Welcome back.
George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I want to say Marla has great energy. But George, I like the way you're advising her to be cautious, and I'm praying that Marla develops great discernment, but keeps her great positive healing energy.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Being said, I'm almost, it's almost like kind of sad but funny in my life. I've gotten 3 predictions by different psychics, which I have only asked a couple, but some predicted I was going to marry this woman named Ariel Coyote in Mill Valley, and everything came true to the place where I was living, but she didn't marry me.
And I
was supposed to win the lottery, and there's some kind of craziness that happened around that. I bought a ticket. I went into the 7-Eleven, and the man took the ticket and said it was just a copy, but the next morning I came in and the lottery machine was gone, and a girl working there said he took it to Southern California, and they're bringing the other lottery machine up there, and it turned out that that drawing, $48 million, was sold in Southern California. But I don't want to digress. So I got another prediction that said I was going to marry this other woman, and all these things came true, but she didn't marry me. Now, the reason I'm calling, though, the third prediction, when I was 9, my grandma and my aunt was using the Ouija board in their dining room in Philadelphia, and my grandma said, let's ask the Ouija board who Pat's going to marry. That's my nickname. So they did Ayaka, and my aunt said, oh, that's gobbledygook. But my grandma said, no, that's a Japanese name. And anyway, I did meet this woman named Ayaka, but she didn't marry me.
Oh, now, what's going on? Are you asking these women? Are you forgetting to propose or what? How are all these women married yet?
I did, after she got pissed off at me because she wanted to move in with me, and I asked her to wait a couple of days.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I think you need a little dating coaching.
Oh, for three there.
Oh, for three.
So what hat do you have on now, the paranormal hat or the matchmaker
hat?
Hey,
I switch them, you know, real quick.
How did you get involved in that, by the way, matchmaking?
Matchmaking was a total fluke. Everything's been, it just happens with me like the law of attraction. I mean, just things come to me when I need it. I was an actress slash waitress for 20 years. And at 39, I could not put on that waitress apron one more time. I said, I've got to do something else, because I ended up waitressing more than acting. And I was dating Adolfo at the time before we got married, and he had a friend who was taking over the management position at a video dating service called Great Expectations. And she said, hey, Marla, you can have a gig, you know, work the front desk and do the videos, videographer, and you could still go on auditions. So I still act in a little bit, and I loved it. And from there, I moved to a Beverly Hills matchmaking firm for 7 years. I was running the whole thing, the whole country. And then in 2009, I left. 2010, I went out on my own.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I've had my own business, and I have a wonderful partner.
You're highly regarded, by the way.
Yeah, I'm very well known in my industry, and it's been a great career for me. But I always loved writing. I love the creative. Says I'm a Gemini like you, George,
yeah.
And
oh,
you've
yeah.
got those. There's two of us. See the two. Oh, watch out, Adolfo. There's two of us in here.
I like you, Marla. No, I don't. Yes, I do. Yep, no, I don't. There are two of us. We're up to 50,000 members for ParanormalDate.com.
Oh, that's awesome.
People want to meet people with similar interests.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the whole key.
Yeah. Maybe you've got people can use the Ouija board together on get together and do that. They used to do that in the mid 1800s. They would.
I mean,
it was a parlor game.
I will give you that most people like Karen Dahlman have the ability to not let anything hit them and take over.
Right.
They have that ability to do that.
But she had some. And everybody I've spoken to, George, include, you know, Linda and Karen, everybody, we had to deal with some low energies that we dealt
with. It's there.
Everybody.
So you do admit it's out there.
Yes, it's out there.
And it could come
through. It doesn't
through.
Mean, you know, that board is doing anything. It's, we have to.
Well, I think what
we
the
can
board
get it
is,
from being in big crowds. Let's say you're at a big concert. People are using drugs. There's a lot of low energies hanging on to people there you could pick up.
Sure.
Yeah, just see how people behave out in the world.
I think the door is merely the Ouija board is like a door, and you open it or you don't. But the Ouija board is that door.
It was really only with The Exorcist, that film in Hollywood, that people started getting all scared about it. They don't even know the history of it. They don't know anything. They just heard it's bad, and then they're scared of it. It's something that was used all the time in the 1800s and the turn of the century.
All right. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Marla Martinson, the Beverly Hills matchmaker, who has also gone over to the paranormal side with her new work, The Buddha Made Me Do It. Have you always had this paranormal feeling, even since you were a little girl?
Yeah, when I was a little girl, I used to astral travel.
Aha!
which is when the spirit kind of leaves the body. I first heard about shadow people on your show, George, and I remember when I was like 2 or 3 years old, lying in my bedroom.
Wait. You weren't 2 or 3 listening to me.
No.
Oh, all right. Thank God.
I don't think you're on the air then.
No,
I'm not.
That was that probably young. Before radio was invented.
That's right. That's how old I am. No. Okay, you guys. Yeah, I was laying on my bed. I think it was about 3, and it was in the pitch black, and I opened my eyes, and I saw this all-black figure of, like, a human figure, but doing, like, these deep knee bends, like, right in front of me or something. It was really
weird.
I was so scared. I couldn't scream out to my parents or anything. Finally, I just closed my eyes, and then it was gone. And then years later, of course, recently on your show, I heard you speaking about shadow people, and I thought maybe it was a shadow person. So I had different experiences, and I always loved just the, you know what I do it what Julie and I did on this spiritual odyssey. It makes life sparkle. It's fun. There's something else out there. There's something besides just us being in this three dimension there, as you talk about with a lot of your guests, and we're just having a lot of fun with it. Everything's light, everything's positive. And I think, you know, with Adolfo coming on, he's really exaggerating, and I'm not on that board all day or even every day. I do a lot of fun stuff, and so he's really, I think you guys are really ribbing it too. You're really going a little too far here.
No. I'm just here to protect you.
Okay.
That's all I want. All right. No, but tell me about bamboo beading.
The bamboo beading. All right. This one really did almost split Adolfo and I up. So Julie started her candle magic class without me. And I was like, hey, she's taking a class without me? What the heck? And then I thought, well, I've got to do something to one-up her. What am I going to do? And I met this Chinese holistic doctor called Dr. Mo, and he has something called percussion therapy. And I thought, well, why not give it a try?
Percussion therapy.
He invented it. And what he does is he'll take a couple of bamboo sticks, and then you're laying on the table.
How big are the sticks?
They're big sticks, big pieces of bamboo.
Like a couple feet?
Well, maybe like a bigger than a drumstick.
Like a ruler, maybe.
Yeah.
The size of a ruler.
Yeah, maybe a little bigger. And you're laying on in your underwear. The story's in here. It's called The Bamboo Beating, Chapter 2. It's my favorite chapter. It is so funny. It wasn't funny at the time, because when I was getting beaten, he doesn't hit you that hard, but it hurts so bad. It was like the burning.
What is
like
this
hell.
Supposed
it's
to do?
It's supposed to bring up any trauma. And Adolfo and I were arguing a lot then, and I'm like, well, maybe this will just really, like this caller that called up 15 years, they're always arguing. I thought, well, maybe I can just release some of this, you know, tension
beating
and frustration.
With bamboo sticks?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like acupressure where you
press on. So you're into the
points.
Ouija board. You like getting beaten with bamboo sticks.
I didn't like it. But
are you going to ever go back and do it again?
Okay. He said I should come back 4 or 5 times.
Of course he's.
Of course, right.
How much does, well.
I know. Adolfo said the guy was laughing all the way to the bank. So I had all these bruises on my body, which I tried to conceal from Adolfo, but I figured he's going to see them sooner or later, so I better fess up. And I showed him.
Tommy will use tree branches and charge you half.
Yeah, thank you. So I did go back one more time, and then Adolfo, the arguing was too bad, so I couldn't go back after that. I couldn't go back. But it was a great. Then I tried leeches.
Well, that's pretty common these days. Many medical professionals are using leeches to cleanse the blood of patients who have infections.
Well, and
I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah, they still use it.
They do it.
When my mom, I told my mom about it, she's like, "That's from the mid ages."
No, they're coming back.
No, it's not. It's not. And
it works. I would never want to have a leech on me.
I was on my lying on my stomach, and he put it on my back, so I couldn't see it. But I was like a little scared.
All right, let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Portland, Maine. Sam's with us. Hey, Sam, thanks for calling.
Right.
Go ahead. You're on with Marla.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Okay. It's a little off the subject, but automatic writing is also getting in touch with spirits.
Yes,
and,
I do that.
I had a very frightening experience with it.
Oh,
what
no.
happened?
Oh,
what
no,
happened?
What happened?
You meditate for a while, you put a pencil on paper, and you just let it go. After about a week, after a few days, you just started scribbling a little. Nothing happened. After a while, I'd come up with the name Eri, E-R-I. I don't know why, but it started with that every time. Probably after about 3 weeks, it finally wrote a sentence that I could read. And it said, I don't know why, this is just, it's weird. I'm not a a racist or anything like that, but it said, cling to life in Hitler. It wrote that out. It was the first thing I could read. So I prayed to God that night, and I said, tell me what this is. And I went to sleep, and I couldn't have been asleep for more than 3 or 4 minutes. And the head of the devil just come up.
Oh my God.
That's scary.
It was so real.
Wow.
It scared the heck out of me.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
And so I gave it up. I never tried it again. I left it alone. And that's that story. I
guess a lot of people, one other short story.
I was living on the street in camping in Santa Cruz, California. This area seemed haunted. There was weird things happening there. And I went to sleep one night, and I woke, and it was the first time I really had an out-of-body experience. I woke up, but I was like 100 yards away from my body. So I rushed back to my body because I felt that there was something trying to invade me. And when my spirit got back to my body, I kind of like jumped into my body, but I had no control. I was completely paralyzed. And I'm shaking and I can't do nothing. And for about a minute, I finally said, Jesus, help me. And boom, the spirit disappeared just like that.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that works.
Yeah, I do that. I call
you've
in
done
Jesus.
That. Oh, you've evoked that too.
Yeah. They come. They'll come and help.
Yeah, they really do. They really do. So after you wrote the book, The Buddha Made Me Do It, and you continue, you know, dabbling in the paranormal.
Uh-huh.
What's your next step? What are you going to do next with this? I mean, are you going to change a little bit with the Ouija board after tonight? Or are you going to go
back at it? You know, I don't even have a Ouija board. I don't have one. I have like a couple communication boards. They're just a board with the alphabet on it. It doesn't say Ouija. And I don't use it every day. It's just something fun. I will always go to spiritual lectures. I will always keep reading books. I love Marianne Williamson and Dr. Michael Beckwith and Deepak Chopra and loved Wayne Dyer and all of these wonderful spiritual teachers. And I do yoga and meditation. I do a lot of just light
stuff. You were looking at some of your postings and emails. They don't want you using the Ouija board.
I know. Read Karen's book, Karen Dahlman's book. No, I don't.
Next up. Let's go to Leon in Ontario, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead there, Leon.
Hey, how you doing, George? Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you doing, Marla? I was just wondering, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, Marla, I know you think the Ouija board's a lot of fun. You giggle a lot about it like it's a toy, but I had an experience when I was young. I remember my parents, I think I was six, they were playing with my aunt and uncle, and the Ouija board ended up telling them that my uncle and my dad would end up getting killed on some railroad tracks in a certain year on some riding motorcycles. Well, anyway, that year came, and I remember that summer we were living with my aunt and uncle, and it was that year, and I think it was like 1980 or something like that it was supposed to occur, and they bought motorcycles, and we lived around railroad tracks, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, and I mentioned it to my parents. It freaked them out. But they didn't end up getting killed. But here's the thing. It made me stop and think that once you consult these things and you give confidence into these spirit creatures and things like that, it makes me scared to think that they influence your life after that, because who's to say they didn't nudge them in that direction for all those years to end up in that place and that time and that certain year and buy these things, and they were being influenced, you know? Because how do you know who you're really talking to? I know you say you have a lot of positive energy and these spirits they're not bad, they're not evil. But, you know, the scriptures tell us that Satan comes to you as an angel of light. He doesn't come to you and say, boo. He comes to you as a buddy. And there's no way to really verify who you speak with. There's no way to ID a spirit who's on the other side. You kind of have to take their word for it and put faith in them, right? And believe what they're telling you. And, of course, a lot of times they might seem friendly, but how better to influence somebody by pretending to be a friend, just like people con us? Couldn't the spirits con us the same way? I mean, even Jesus was more knowledgeable about spirits than most of us are, since he was one.
Well, they can trick you.
Well, they don't tell me what to do. It's been like 3 years now, and I would think that if something was evil trying to get me to do something, it would have by now. I only communicate with my angels, two of them, and they always give loving messages. They pretty much come on and say, we love you. You know, you're doing great. They say, if sometimes they'll say, go to bed now and get some rest. They just give really sweet, nice messages, and they don't tell me to go do anything. So you'd have to get into it yourself to really know.
I think you've been lucky, Marla. You've been lucky.
Well, I don't focus. Everybody's focused on evil. I
don't.
It does. You know what? Negativity doesn't cross my mind. Evil doesn't cross my mind. Devils don't cross my mind. Bible scriptures don't cross my mind of warnings. It's just it's a positive tool, among a lot of other things.
Would you know negativity when you saw it?
Well, I'm sure I would. I did feel those lower, that low vibration, those low entities when they did kind of come in that. Those times, I could feel that.
Let's go to Skype. Cameron is with us, Bellevue, Washington. Hi, Cameron. Thank you.
Hi, George. Hi, Marla.
My hometown. I'm from Federal Way.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, George, I interviewed you on a radio show a long time ago, and I don't know if you remember.
That was a very long time ago. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So,
great.
The subject of what I talk about a lot on the show, and anyways, when I'm listening to your guest tonight, I have tons of experiences, but I wanted to relate two that I think are fantastic. So when I was younger, my grandfather was old and he was getting ready to pass away. He was the Speaker of the House in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Anyways, we knew that he was going to be going soon, and I was sleeping on the couch. I was awoken by a huge bright light from under his door. I just assumed that everybody was in there looking after him and stuff. Come to find out, when we woke up in the morning, he had passed away during the night. And that bright light that I saw,
was him
leaving his body and taking off.
Uh-huh. Or maybe an angel coming to get him, the bright light?
No, that's what I think it was.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And
so when I went to my grandmother's funeral, it was an open casket. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old when she passed away. And I saw her get out of her body, out of the coffin, and walk over to me and say, don't worry about it, because we were really close. Don't worry about me. Anytime you smell pancakes, you know that I'm around. And she used to make pancakes for us boys on every Sunday morning. We'd go for her breakfast and stuff. So, when I know there's no pancakes being cooked around and I smell them, clearly she's around.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But I really like your messages about the positiveness and the Ouija board. I agree. The Ouija board, you can draw in positive messages from the Ouija board. It doesn't have to be negative. I think it's a perception thing, and I think that people invite in the negative in because they're wanting something, obviously, to compare themselves and their own difficulties in life somehow, maybe, to make themselves feel better somehow. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
That's super. It's great stories, too.
Yes, I love that.
Great stories, indeed. Who knows? You may end up being a ghostwriter with the paranormal, literally.
I was telling Nathan that...
Nathan being our board op here.
The board op, the adorable board op here, that in my book I included a poem that I wrote on the talking board with Edgar Allan Poe.
Aha! Uh-huh.
I did call in, because I love Edgar Allan Poe, and I said, can Poe come in? And he came in. Now, I have no proof it was really Poe. It could have been somebody else. But
tricking you.
A trickster. But we wrote a really great poem, I thought, and it's in the book.
Perfect.
So that was fun. So I did write something.
Have your intuitive abilities been enhanced the more you do this?
It does. With Reiki, being attuned, that's an energy form of energy healing for anybody who doesn't know. And when you keep getting these energetic attunements and working with energy, you really do. And I know that's how Paul Selig ended up channeling,
yeah,
because he started with energy work. And the more you do it, you do get more intuitive.
Let's go to Kyla in Chicago on the wild card line. Kyla, you're up with us.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Marla.
Hi.
Hi. So I actually have a good Ouija board story.
Oh,
yay!
We have one, huh?
We got it.
It happened quite a few years ago when I was in high school, and I was at a sleepover with a couple of my girlfriends, and so we had fooled around a couple of times with it, and my friend Amy had her beloved grandmother's blanket that had passed away when she was like 8 years old, so we decided to lay the Ouija board on the blanket, and what would you know, we began talking to this entity that claimed it was her grandmother, and she said all these positive things, and it ended in us basically just like all of us just like bawling, crying with emotions. But the what's interesting thing is she kept asking, like, what is your middle name? And she at the time thought her grandmother's middle name was Yvonne, but the board kept saying Minerva. And she was like, no, that's not right, that's not right. But it turns out later, the next afternoon, she asked her mother, and it turns out her middle name was Minerva. Mm. So the board knew it, but we didn't.
Yay, so that's great.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
A lucky ending with a Ouija board.
Yes.
Well, I didn't say every episode is bad, but it's minimal. Or good. It's minimal. You get more bad ones than good ones.
Get more bad episodes?
Yeah.
More bad experiences?
Bad stories.
Oh, yeah. Bad stories. Yeah, there's so much there's so much fear around it. It's really interesting.
Let's go to Ron in St. Petersburg, Florida. Only have a minute for you, Ron, but you are up. Go ahead.
Hi, Ron.
Talk fast then. First thing you want to say is if you have any fear in doing stuff like that, don't do it.
Yes,
but
good
if you don't have any fear and you're positive thinking, then fine. You know, have a blast. Many years ago, I was part of a group, and we did mostly table tipping. But one night, we did a Ouija board. And one of the relative of somebody walked into the room, and he made a crack. He said, is that so-and-so you're talking to there? And he makes a joke about him. And the planchette flies out from under our fingers across the room, hits him in the gut. And we just laugh. You know, we go get it back. And we put it back on the board, and he makes another wise crack, and it repeats it. Two things in a row, it flies across the room from under a fin, which is kind of strange to see.
It happens. That happens indeed. We're out of time, Marla. First of all, I want to thank you for being on the program again. It's interesting that you would come to us with a paranormal world, but
thank you,
fascinating
George.
Stories
yeah,
that happened
you.
To you. And the name of the book is The Buddha Made Me Do It, Marla Martinson. Her website is her name, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Take a quick moment. Spell the website for us.
Marla Martinson, MarlaMartinson.com.
Super. You did get one email from someone who called you a witch.
Yes, that was...
You're not a witch.
I'm not a witch.
But there are good witches.
Yeah, but there's nothing
there
wrong with witches.
You know, there's black magic and there's good magic.
I'm a white fairy. I've got sparkle energy, all right? I love you all.
Thanks, Marla.
Thank you, George.
Take care.